Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Morin Gittin Daf Ayin. We're going to begin five lines from the bottom on Daf Samach Tes Omid Beis, continuing our medical discussion. Very difficult Gemaras to follow. As we said, it's not halacha lemaisa. One is not allowed to practice these medications or these therapies, and many of them we just don't simply understand. And we'll do this for half the share, and then we'll get back to the Gemara in Gittin. Okay, so we pick up five lines from the bottom, Samach Tes Omid Beis, Litzimra. We said this means for a fever. Right? If a person has fever, what's the correct treatment for that? So, litzimra bura, if it's a fever that's caused from some external factor, I'm not clear exactly what this means. So, lysi tlosa grive souffle. Go and bring grive is a certain measure. Rashi says soyin. So you bring three tlosa soyin of souffle. Souffle, Rashi says, are garine tamarim, the seeds of dates. And utlosa grive, and another three measures of saw of Atraf Adra. Rashi says, Alin Shalait Shishmo Ador. You bring leaves from the tree known as the Ador tree. Vinish Lukinu, and you then go and cook them. However, Kol Chad L'chudei, you cook them each separately, and then the Leisev Benai, you go and sit in between them. The two things that you cook, these measures of the date pits and the measures of these Ador leaves, the Lasvinu Bitarte Meshichle, and you put them into two arevos. Rashi says Meshichle or arevos, basins or troughs. The Neisev Petora, and then you bring a table. Petora is a table, and and place this table on top of one of these two troughs, and then you sit on it, and the nekomia lavai high, and then you get up from the one that you were sitting on, you take the table and put it over the other trough, velosiv ilavi high, and then you can sit on that one for a while, umilavai high, velosiv ilavi high, then you go switch it around and go back and forth from one to the other, adinesak behavla, until somehow the thing that you've cooked over here in these two tables will enter your body. Adinesak behavla, it enters the hevel, the heat, the vapors that come up from these two cooked basins, these two cooking troughs will enter your body. Velasche minayu, and then go and wash with the waters that are in them, in the two troughs. And then the chishasi, and then drink it. Rashi says the kaimalon harochets bechamin shows him. If you wash in warm water, you should also drink it. This is somehow medicinal, as the Goron Shabbos tells us. But when you drink it, the chishasi, you have to be careful. Mibaya the adro lishte, only drink from the water that was cooking the ador leaves. Mibaya the sufli lo lishte, but don't drink from that trough that had the dates, the garinum of the dates in it, mikshum d'me'akre, because that could lead chas v'shalom. Rashi says, osin oso okor milaholid, who can make you unable to have children, it can make you sterile in some way. Okay, that's for this tzimra broad, this fever that's brought on by an external factor. However, that tzimra gavna, a fever that is internally, again, I don't know exactly what they mean by external versus internal, but bra and gavna mean, bra means outside, like a brice is outside, and gavna means inside. So, lyse, for this treatment of this type of an internal fever, lyse shiva bune, bune we said previously was a measure, malo yad, a handful or a fistful. So, lyse shiva bune, the silka, that is silka, silka is usually beets, mishev mishare, they come from seven different areas where they were grown. Rashi says mishivas arugos, so seven different rows of beets. Vinishlokinu biafrayu, and when you take the beets out, go and bring the dirt with them. When you pick them up, whatever dirt's on there, you put them all into the pot and you cook them all together with their dirt. As Rashi says, all for ole bishorishayim. As you pull them up from the ground, there'll be some dirt still left on their roots. So go and cook that as well. Vinechel, and then go and eat or drink this cooked dish of the beets with the dirt. Vinishte Atraf Adora Bishikra. And then also drink some of the Atraf Adora, we said before, was the leaves from this Ador type of a tree, and put it into Shikra, which is beer, and then drink that as well. Oh, and we turn to Ayin with Aleph, add to it Inve Tala. Rashi says, Inve Gefen Hamudelis Bedeko, the vine that is hanging out over a decal, over a palm tree, and that will also be drunk, bimayim, with water, and that will be somehow therapeutic for these types of internal fevers. Okay, now the Gemara tells us, lechazazisa, this is the alephis, this is some sort of a blemish on the skin, where we have an esrog, we call this chazusa on an esrog, it's like a bumpy blemish on the esrog, so it's the same thing on the skin as well. And Lysa, you go and take Shev Chite Arzuniaisa. Rashi says Chite Arzuniaisa or Chitin Gasim, very large pieces of wheat. So take seven large pieces of wheat, the Niklinu, and go and roast it. Amora Charita. On Mora Charita, we said previously, is on Barzel, on a brand new shovel. Posher is a shovel. So roast it on a metal shovel. The Nofik Mishcha Minayu, and then some juices will flow out over there. And then the Neshef, Rashi says, Yimashach, go and take the juices that flow out over here from this cooked or roasted wheat, and go and shmir it, Yimashach, on your body, on the area that has the Chazazisa. Okay. Once Maisa Shoyer, Rav Simi Barashi, Ovid Leil Hau Ovi Kochavim, he did this to a certain guy who had this type of an illness, Ledover Acher, he had Saras, that was the illness that he had, the Itse, and it did heal him from this. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Haiman de Mochule Ba'alunchi de Parsoi, if a person has an attack somehow from Alunchi Parsoi, this Rashi says is Benochlios, which is a Romach, a spear, Shol Parsim. He was somehow attacked with a spear of the Parsim, Shemitzarfin or some Bimei Sam Hamavis, and they would put poison on the tips of their spear. So the person was not only speared, but he had poison on the tip of the spear that got into him. So Shmuel says, and Shmuel's a doctor, Michaya Lochai, there's no way the person can live with this type of an attack. Unfortunately, the poison will kill him, but it won't kill him instantaneously, and therefore, Ad Hachi V'Hachi, before he dies, he can prolong his living a little bit. Nisvule Bisro Shmeina Agumre, they'll go cook for him and let him eat this fatty meat that is on charcoals, on barbecue, the Chamra Chaya, and then have raw undiluted wine, and maybe Efshar, the Chai Pur, to live a little bit longer. What's the purpose of living a little bit longer? Besides, obviously, just the fact of living longer, every second of life is precious. Umafkid Abese. Rashi tells us, Tzavo al Nechoso. This is one of the main purposes why Yaakov Avinu said that a person shouldn't die suddenly by sneezing. And he said it's a good idea if a person gets sick before he dies, so he'll have a chance to put his affairs in order. So there too, Shmuel is basically applying this principle here, that even if the person is going to die almost immediately, if you can delay it a little bit and give him a chance to arrange his affairs, that's a tremendous benefit for that person. Likewise, on Ravi de Baravin, he said, Haiman de Bola Zibura. If a person swallowed a Zibura, that's usually translated as a hornet. So also, Michaye Lochai, he will not be able to survive. It will somehow sting him inside. He'll have some sort of a reaction, maybe swell up his throat, and he won't be able to breathe, and he'll die. So what do you do in this situation to try to get him to live a little bit longer? Ad Hachi Vahachi, before he dies, you can still extend his life a little bit to allow him to put his affairs in order. Like Shmuel just said, Nashke Riviyatsa Dechala Shamgaz. That's the Girsa that we have. You should let him drink a Riviyatsa's worth of challah is vinegar, and Rashi says sham zog. Rashi has the gears on the side. He says should be sham gaz chometz chazok, so very strong vinegar. Maybe this will go and stun this hornet inside of him for a little bit of time. Efshar the chay purta, he'll be able to live a little bit longer. Umafkid lebeisi, and again put his affairs in order. Okay, Rav Shimon Levi. Rav Shimon Levi tells us ochal basar shor belefes. If a person eats ox meat, basar shor, belefes, with some sort of turnip. Lefes is something that accompanies bread usually, and it's also a turnip. So, vilon baluvona, belele yudalit otezvav bitkufas tamas. And then he goes and sleeps outside during the summer months of Tammuz. So that's 3 months. The month of Tammuz is 1 month, Tammuz, but Tkufas Tammuz, it refers to the season of the summer. So this would be on any of the 3 months in Tkufas Tammuz, right? The year is divided up into 4 seasons, so 3 months each. So the months of Tkufas Tammuz, if he's out there on either the 14th or the 15th day of any of those months, so then Achazato Achilu, this person will never get sick with this illness called Achilu. What exactly is this illness? Achilu, the Gemara will tell us in a few moments. In any event, first it tells us, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Vahamamale Kresel Mikol Dover, if a person fills himself up with anything. Now, Rashi says, Mikol Dover, that Rashi says, Shehu Tov, even good things, Ubasuk Lechaikos, sweet things. V'olchu Menu, Kol Tavos, when he drinks, eats much of it as he wants, Meviu Lidei Choli, Sheshmo Achilu. This will also bring on this illness called Achilu, as the Gemara now says, Ochasto Achilu. We still haven't defined what this Achilu is. Rapapa says this includes eating good things that will make you sick, even Achilu Mitamri, even if you eat many dates. Gemara says, Prita, why would I think that shouldn't be included? We just said, Mikol Dover, so why would I think that excludes dates? So Gemara says, because, so could I, Dechaminach, I might have thought, Hold the Amar, since Rapapa had said, Tamre, that these dates, Mas Ba'on, they really satiate a person. Umishachdon, Rashi says, Bechamos, they make him warm. Umishaushalin, they give him clearing out his body. They're like a laxative that will make him go. Uma Ashwan, Rashi says, no tenes koach, they give you strength. Velo mifankot, and Rashi says, eno misangos es halev lios istinus. They prevent the person from becoming an istinus, who's a fussy person. The afabin shemesukos, even though they're very sweet. So one might have thought that these dates have so many positive things about them that you can never have too many of them. So emolo, maybe eating too many of these dates is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Like we said, cold over, eating too much of anything, even if it's good, is a bad thing. So I might have thought the dates were the exception to the rule. Therefore, Kamash Vulon, Rapapa tells us, Afilu Mitamre, he says, this is true, Kamash Vulon, even for these dates, which are so good for you, we gave all these positive things, but nevertheless, too much of even a good thing is no good. We always call the classical golden middle road, right? The Shril HaZov that the Rambam talks about. Rambam, of course, was a doctor, and that's the best thing in general. Even modern medicine will tell you that excesses are never good. The middle path, not too much, not too little, of almost anything is probably a good idea, with, of course, certain exceptions. My achilu. Now the Gemara finally gets, what is this illness called achilu? So I'm Rabbi Elazar, Eish Shel Atzamos. This is a fire in the bones. What exactly this is referring to is not clear. Sometimes maybe you could think that this is some sort of an infection of the bones, what we would call osteomyelitis, but the Gemara is not defining this further. And anyway, the Gemara asks, my Eish Shel Atzamos, what is this? So I'm Rabbi, Abai gives the Aramaic words, Eish Garmei. Garmei means bones, so they didn't understand maybe the Hebrew, so he explained in Aramaic. Maybe they knew what it was, but again, we're not clear. Again, I'm suggesting possibly it means a fire in the bones, means an infection in the bones, something we would call osteomyelitis. Nu, how do you cure it? Maya sute. So Amar Abaya says, Amar Liyay, again, we mentioned many times, Abaya, his father passed away shortly after conception, his mother died at childbirth, and he was raised by this guardian, in addition to, of course, being in Rabba's house. So this mother, this woman he refers to as his mother, really was his nursemaid. So Amar Liyay, she was a very bright person, she's mentioned throughout Shas, and Kulu Shakyoni, so she said, all of these types of drinks, Shakyoni are drinks, called mashkin, sha'odim shos l'refua, anything that a person drinks for refua, normally the duration of the dose is t'los for 3 days, or shiva, or 7 days, or tresa, or 12 days. That's the normal duration that they would require for treatments that require various types of drinking. Vahai, but for this osteomyelitis, for this the fire of the bones, ad de mitzah, you have to keep on drinking it until you are cured. There is no specific duration of 3, 7, or 12 days. Now, again, kulu shakyoni, other beverages that are taken for medicinal purposes, alibar ikonim, you're supposed to take them on an empty stomach, right? In medicine today, we also know that certain treatments, certain drugs, medications are better absorbed on an empty stomach, others are better absorbed on a full stomach, and will negate sometimes side effects. So person should always take the medication as instructed, whether it's on an empty stomach or specifically with a fatty meal or with a full stomach. In any event, what the aim of Abaye was saying was that in general, we would take these liquid medications or liquid therapies on an empty stomach. However, Vahai, this specific one for the fire in the bones, for the osteomyelitis, the basa, the ochal vishase, you specifically should only take it after you've eaten and drunk, the aisle basically, and went to the bathroom, the Norfolk, and you came out of the bathroom after you went, umashi, then you washed your hands, and then only go take this. And furthermore, umay sule buna, buna we said before, meant a handful or a fistful, the shisiso de talpeche, you should take it with a certain amount, the below egg rough Rashi says, min shisiso, which is shei maichol, also min kemach adoshe melach. This shisiso de talpeche is made up of lentils, talpeche are the lentils, and it also had inside of it flour and salt. And you take that, and you take as well ubuna, a handful or a fistful of the chamra tika, of old wine. I'm not sure exactly how you take a fistful of that, either you pour it in to the fist, and you measure out the liquid that you can hold in your fist, or maybe it's talking about congealed wine. In any event, you take a fistful or a handful of this congealed older wine, v'nigbulinhu, and you knead it together. Givul is to knead with a K, bahad de hadadi, all together, and then v'nechel, and then you go knead it. Now, furthermore, that person should then go to sleep, v'nichroch, and he should wrap himself up, bisadine, with various blankets, v'nigane, and go to sleep. and don't wake him up. And don't wake him up until he gets up on his own. This will have the full benefit of the schwitzing that's required over here to go and get rid of this osteomyelitis, this bone fire. Nu, when he wakes up, when he finally wakes up on his own, they take away those probably soaked garments that he was wrapped in, mine, from him, because if you don't do that, that the illness can easily come back to him. Somehow it's the infectious agent or whatever it may be is in the blankets, and if you let him go then sleep with those blankets, he will reinfect himself. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to go to many things that will help prevent you from getting sick and will increase your likelihood of staying healthy, as opposed to treatments till now that we've given for people who already are sick. So Amalei Eliyahu Rabbi Nosson, the Eliyahu Hanavi would come back to various people. There's something called Gilui Eliyahu, the great Amoraim, Tanoim, and even people in the later generations had the schus somehow to meet up with Eliyahu, Eliyahu Lo Meis, and therefore he's still in this world. That's what we say, Teku Tishbi Yataris Kushvi Rabayos, the Eliyahu, who's considered a human being when he's back on this world, so he understands. It's not Min HaShemayim, he's a person, and therefore he can paskin shilas. So in any event, Eliyahu had appeared to Rabbi Nosson, and he told him that a very good idea is echo shlish, only eat a third of what your stomach can contain. As Rashi says, melo me'echa, only eat a third of what your stomach can hold, and ushteishlis, and then drink another third, what your stomach can hold, v'hanach shlish. As Rashi says, leave a third of your stomach, bitnecha reikam, empty. In other words, don't eat and drink to your full capacity, because l'cheshetichos, in case you do get angry, and Rashi says, v'yamale bitnecha kas, and that will fill up your stomach with kas. You have room for it. Tamaut amiluacha, so it will fill in that gap, and not go, so to say, spread out to the rest of the body. But if you fill up your stomach, Rashi says, achil v'shriya, l'shichtichos tibaka. It has to go someplace else, and it will sort of say burst, and you'll be in a lot of trouble. So therefore, leave a little room. And this way, l'shichtichos tamod amilu echa. You'll have room for the anger to go in, and not break open your stomach and bother the rest of your body. Okay. Tani Ruchi learned the following braisa. If a person wants to prevent himself from getting intestinal problems, so then he should get regularly used to going and dipping his bread. Betibul Rashi says litbol, it should be pas b'chometz obiyayin. That's the gears of Masoras Hashas. So he should get used to dipping his bread every morning in the winter and in the summer into vinegar or wine. This is healthy. Sudascha shahanascha mimenu. And if you're in fact your meal gives you a lot of pleasure, mishochyocha menu. Don't fill up fully, even if you like the food, so leave over a little bit. This is in general considered a good thing to do. Don't eat your full portions. Have smaller portions and leave some aside. You don't have to finish everything on your plate. And likewise, if you have to go to the bathroom, don't delay. Go and do it right away. A person should always go to the bathroom because that will prevent him from having problems. If he needs to go, he should go. There are halachic issues here as well in terms of the person has to go to the bathroom. He's not allowed to daven, he's not allowed to bench, he's not allowed to do all sorts of activities because it's considered a to'eva to have that inside of you. And again, there are halachas about this, which we won't go into right now. Gemara and Brachos and other places, Shulchan Aruch, talk about this. Gemara Ketina says, Marukva tells us, Hai man deshasi tilya chivra. What is tilya chivra? So Rashi says, this is yain ra, very, very bad wine. Ochasto vitek. He will get this sickness called vitek. Rashi says, the chaloshes. This will be a weakness to his whole body. So drinking this very bad white wine will bring about a certain weakness to the body. Amr Chis tells us that shisin mini charbahabul. Again, the 60 is a generic number, a very large amount. It says there are many, many different types of wine. And he says, the best of all them, ma'alyo de kulu, the best of all of these wines is called sumcha richasona. Richasona actually says it's yesh lo reach tovot. It's a red wine with a very aromatic and delicious bouquet. So this is the best of all the wines. And the worst of all the wines, geria de kulu, that's this tilya chibra, this white, horrible wine. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amor Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hi, man, the Yosef bit safrone nison gabi nura." If somebody sits safrone, means in the morning, in the boker. If somebody sits in the morning of Nisan, and then he goes his shayith mishra and he anoints himself with all sorts of oils, the nafik Yosef b'shemshon. Then he goes out and sits in the sun. That's dangerous. Also, ochasto, he'll be falling to this illness known as visek. He'll be also very, very weak. If a person goes and has a bloodletting, again, they used to, on a regular basis, go and have these phlebotomies. They felt that it was prophylactic to keep your health, and they would do so on a regular basis. So if a person had a bloodletting, and then v'shimei shmitaso, and he had relations with his wife right afterwards, so that's going to lead, if he gets pregnant, Rashi says, havyon lo bonim viskin, that's going to lead you to have children. As Rashi says, im nis'avrab yoso tashmish, if that tashmish led to having children, so somehow the seed that you provided will be causing the child to be weak. And he kizu shnei v'shim shuhit, this was both for the mother and for the father, that they had relations after they had a bloodletting, and then the woman got pregnant from that relations. Havilan banim bali rasim. That's going to be even worse than just this weakness, visek. This rasim, Rashi tells us, is a certain, a major weakness, chaloshim harde. And this is machma sheish lehem sheretz moach. This is some sort of a neurological parasite. Marin Ksubas Rashi brings down the Daf Ayin Zayin with Beis, where it talks about all the infection control measures, so it talks about the Bali Rasan. Some suggest that this is with Parogat, the Negoyim Gidolim, Rashi brings down, that was Rasan. So this is some sort of brain or neurological parasite that can lead to tremendous weakness. So that's if both of them had relations after they had a bloodletting. However, Amar Apapi says, Lo Amar, we only said this is dangerous for either the Visek or the Rasan, El de Lo Toy Midi, if they didn't eat anything in between, Bein HaKozul L'Tashvish, Rashi says, in between having the phlebotomy and relations, if they didn't eat, then it's dangerous. But if they ate, Abol Toy Midi, if they ate something less, but then you don't have to be concerned about these problems occurring. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Rabba bar Rav Huna tells us, Ba min haderech, the person comes off traveling, and then comes home immediately, Vishimesh Mitasso, and he has relations with his wife, Habyon lo bonim viskin. This will also lead to having these children that are very, very weak. And again, this is only if they became pregnant from that relations. If a person went to the bathroom and comes out of the bathroom, he shouldn't immediately have relations with his wife. Shouldn't have relations with his wife until the time that it would take to walk a half a mil. Normally we say walking a mil is either 18 minutes, some say 24 minutes. So half of that would either be 9 minutes or it would be 12 minutes. So let's take the smaller shear like we do for Pesach, the 18-minute matzah. So that shear of a mil. So if you take a chatzi mil, it would be 9 minutes. So you shouldn't have relations after coming out of the bathroom for 9 minutes. Because, mipnei shesheid beis hakiseh, because there is a shade demon that we don't understand this at all, that's in the beis hakiseh, that when you leave, it escorts you malav imo. And therefore, if you're going to have relations during that period of time, the shade is there. V'imshimesh havilon banim nichbim. That's going to lead to having children that are nichbim. What are nichbim? So Rashi says, noflin meyoso choli, that they are fainting from a certain type of illness, and this is normally translated as epilepsy. So you'll have epileptic children, chas v'shalom, if you have relations within 9 minutes or a half a mil's walk after coming out of the bathroom. Tanu Rabban will learn the following brisa. Meshamish mitoso meumad. If a person has relations while he's standing up, ochazto abis, he will be afflicted with this illness called abis. Rashi says krempa. This is cramps. So he'll get cramps if he's standing up. Meyushav. If a person is sitting down and has relations with his wife, ochazto delaria, he'll get delaria. Now the Gemara is going to speak about delaria a couple of times. It's not going to tell us what it is. So the Latin root of the word delirium means off the furrow, or lyria is a furrow. So maybe this is some sort of a delirium, I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't define it. Ochasto delaria, it doesn't tell us what it is. It'll tell us the cure for it, but it won't tell us what delaria is. So let's say it's the word delirium. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So if you have relations while you're sitting down, as opposed to lying down, so then you could get chas v'shalom delirium. So if you have relations, furthermore, he milamala, if the woman is on the top, the hu milamata, and the man is on the bottom, so the normal relations the Gemara describes elsewhere, the man is on the top and the woman is on the bottom, so then you'll also be suspect to ochasto delaria. You'll be capable of getting this illness called delaria, maybe delirium, maybe not. My delaria, or yes, what is this delaria? Doesn't tell us the answer. I'm Rishu ben Levi. Sam delaria dar dora. Doesn't tell us what it is, but it tells us what the cure is. It's taking, the cure for this is to take something called dardara. No, my dardara. The Gemara asks, what is this dardara? Amar Abaye, morika dechoche. Now the Rashi's here a little bit out of order, so we'll skip the Rashi, kurtime dechoche, because we'll get to that afterwards. And instead, we go to the next Rashi, is morika dechoche. This is krug, again, always translated as saffron. Hagodel begedishul hizmi, that grows amongst the thorns, that's known as shvil. So this is a certain type of saffron that grows in these thorns. Okay, that is the cure for delaria. We don't know what it is. Rapapa olis ubalale. Rapapa would go, and olis means to chew, loes bishinov. He would chew it in his mouth, and then he would swallow it, ubalale. And that would be the way he would take this dardara for this illness of delaria. Rapapi olis, Rapapi would chew it. However, vishadla, he wouldn't swallow it, he would spit it out. Amar Bayabai says, Mishenu Baki b'derech eretz. If a person cannot have derech eretz, derech eretz, Rashi says, it's tashmish. She'en lo koach l'shamish. If he's impotent, the person is incapable of having relations, he's impotent, so then lazy, what he should do is take gimel kepiza. Again, we mentioned previously, kepiza is a certain type of kli that's machzik gimel revios. Go and take, in this situation, three of such kelim, lazy gimel kepiza, that contain within them kurtame de chochi. Now, others have the gear, so kurtame de chori. And here you go back to that Rashi that we skipped before, is out of place, kurtame de chochi or kurtame de chori. He says it's krug also, it's saffron. Hagoda bekarka mizuval bezevel hatzon. That is growing in a field that had been fertilized with the dung of sheep. And that will be somehow helpful for this illness. And vinod kinhu, and you should go and grind it up. Rashi says, yichatshem hadek. You should grind it up very, very finely. Vinishkalinu, and then you go and cook it, bichamra, with wine, and vinishte, and then go and drink it. And that will be a cure for a person who, rachmon l'san, is impin. Amr v'yochanan, v'yochanan says, Hain, hain, hechziruni linurasi. This exactly happened to me. Rabbi Yochanan lived a very long time. There's a medrash that said he lived to be 400 years old. In any event, he lived a very long period of time. And he says this potion that we just mentioned, that restored his vigor, and he was able to again have relations after he'd become impotent from old age. Gemara continues and tells us, Shlosha dvar machishim kolcho shel adim. There are three things that go and weaken a person's strength. What are these three things? So the Gemara says, the eluhain, these are pachad, fear, excessive fear makes a person lose their strength. Derech, traveling, and va'avon, a person who has sins. Now, Tosus brings down that avon means dagas avon, either worry about sins that you have done, or inami onesh avon, or the punishment of those sins. That's what's worrying you. Now, where do we see this? From three psukim. So pachad, where do we see that pachad is going to weaken a person? So the Gemara says, the pasuk that we have from Tehillim, which says, Libi secharchar, Rashi says, is mukov daga. My heart is enclosed, encircled with worry, azavani kochi, and my strength has such left me. That's so you see, pachad does that. Derech, what do you see? The traveling also takes away a person's strength. They'll say, because the pasuk says, Ino baderech kochi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me afflictions on the road, and they have sapped my strength. And avon, where do we see that? Worry about sin. Dechsev, koshal bavuni kochi. My strength is gone from me because of the sins that I have done. And all of these are psukim from Tehillim. Okay. Now the Gemara says, shlosha dvarim. Now the gersa that we have is matizin gufo shalodim. They destroy the body of a person. On the side it says it weakens. Matishin. It should be matishin. And the chupas elio, rabbah, it brings down there that the girsa should be matishin, and this is also the girsa and the Aruch and the Ein Yaakov. So in any event, shlosha dvarim matizin or machishin gufo shalodim, they either destroy or weaken a person's body. Elaine, what are these three? Ocham umad, vishasam umad, vishimish mitasam umad. That if a person either stands while he's eating or drinks while he's standing, or he has relations while he's standing, so all of these things will weaken or destroy a person's body. Then where it says Chamisha Krovel Misa Yosem Anachayim, there are five things that make you almost closer to death than you are to being alive. What are these things over here? Tosos points out that it's any one of them, not all five of them. Mashma in the bottom Tosos, Mashma Filu Osa Echamehem, even one of them doing so, Bilvad by itself. Midlo Kaminin Allah Deboina and Kisidrim, because it doesn't say you have to do them in this order, like it will say in a moment in something else. So any one of these five, in and of itself, without doing all of them, can bring a person to be closer to death than he is to being alive. What are they? Ochal v'omar, if he eats and then he stands up. So all of these, the common denominator that I can find between them, they're all going to cause something called possibly postural hypotension. That when a person suddenly stands up, so then his blood pressure may drop. So if you're eating, so your blood is circulating, especially to your intestines, which normally don't get so much blood flow, but now because you're absorbing all the nutrients, so you have a lot of blood going to your intestines, and then you suddenly stand up. So this way it could drop your blood pressure, and a person could faint, and chas v'shalom, maybe he hurt himself. So then maybe that's the underlying common factor amongst all these. So ochav yomad, if you're eating and you suddenly stand up, or shasa, you're drinking and you suddenly stand up, yomad. So again, the postural hypotension, that you could lose your blood pressure, That's why you're supposed to always get up a little bit slowly. And when you measure blood pressures, doctors are always taught to wait till the person equilibrates before you take a blood pressure from sitting down to standing up. In any event, he kids dom vi amat. If a person has a bloodletting and then he stands up suddenly, again, we know when you donate blood, so they tell you, get up very slowly. And they hold on to you to make sure that you don't feel faint because you just gave blood and your volume may be depleted. Yashen, if you're sleeping, if you're Oman, and you suddenly get up again, you can feel very weak and faint. And Shimei Shvitah, so likewise, if you had relations with your wife, you're Oman, and then you get up, you could also feel faint. So all of these things could be Krovin Lemisa, Yosem Menachayim. Okay. Then it tells us, Shisha, the following six things. Now, here you have to do all of them. Ha'osa, Oso, Miyad, Meis. If you do all six of them in the proper order, as the Gemara will tell us, so then that is unfortunately going to lead to death. What are these six things? Milhein, Haba, Baderech, Venis, Yaga. If a person comes from the road and he is exhausted, he is very tired, and nevertheless, he gets down. He then goes for a phlebotomy. And then, Venichlas, Veis, Mechas, and then he goes to the bathhouse, which you shouldn't do. Vishasa, and then he goes and drinks, Venishtaker, and he gets drunk. And then, Vyoshin, Agabi, Kaka, and then he goes sleeps on the ground, and Vishimesh, Vitaso, and then he has relations with his wife. So that's almost a guarantee. Also does all six of these things. Also, Osan Miyad Meis will die. And Rabbi Yochanan qualifies as Rabbi Yochanan Husha Osan Kisidrin. He has to do it in that same exact order of these six things. Abai qualifies as Abai Kisidrin Meis. If you do all six things, yes, you will die. But if you do them Shalom Kisidrin, you're going to get very weak as well. Shalom Kisidrin, nevertheless, Cholish. More questions. This. Really? Is it so? You have to do all six things. Ini? Vaha Mu'uras. Who was Mu'uras? So Rashi tells us the name of a woman. A certain woman. She did some of these things, Tlas Minayu, three of these things to her Eved. It doesn't say exactly that she do them herself or she forced the Eved to do them. And Umis, and the Eved died. With only three of them, not all six. So how can you say you need to do all six? Even three could kill you. So Gemara says, how Kochashab, this Eved was already very, very weak to start off with. And obviously he had less reserve, and therefore even three of these things could go and kill him. Then Gemara tells us, Shmona, these following eight things, Rubon Kosha, if you do a lot of them excessively, it's bad for you. However, a little bit is good for you. Umiutan Yofa. Again, as we've mentioned many times, everything in moderation. So too much of these eight things is bad for you, but a little bit of all of them is good for you. What are these eight things? The first one is Derech. Again, not all eight of them need to be done. Every one should be done in moderation. So Derech, traveling, is good for a little bit, but not a lot. But Derech Eretz, having relations with your spouse, is appropriate and good, but not to be excessive about it. Osher, wealth, a little bit is good, but too much is going to bring a lot of daga to you. Yaakov Avinu had all of his wealth taken away in order that he shouldn't have to worry about his portfolio every day and he can sit and learn. So a little wealth is good. Having not to worry about whether you're going to have food on your table or not is a wonderful thing, but all you're doing is worrying about your immense wealth. That's actually not a good thing. Umulacha, having work to do is good, but too much work is no good. Yain, a little bit of wine is very good. However, a lot of wine is very dangerous a bit. And Vishina, and likewise sleeping. A little bit of sleep, is the amount that a person needs, is good, but oversleeping is not good. Chamin, hot water, bathing and drinking hot water to a certain extent is good when it's the right amount, but too much excessive, again, is no good, the Gemara says. And a phlebotomy, the Gemara's opinion was that a regular routine, normal amount of phlebotomy is good, too much is no good. Another list of eight things, Shmona, the following eight things, Mamatibis Azera, they're going to cause a person to have less potency. They're going to diminish the amount of zera that he will have. They will make less the zera. What are these things? If he goes and has too much salt, hamelach, v'harav, if he's too hungry, v'anesek, Rashi says a nesek is saraz. The person has saraz, that will decrease his sperm count, that will decrease his fertility. B'chia, excessive crying. V'sheina al-gabi karka, lying on the ground, that will somehow not be good for your sperm. V'gud gonios, Rashi explains this is oleander, this is coriander seeds. The kishos shlobizmana, and eating these kishos, which are hops, at the wrong time. More will explain. Rashi says, "Lekamim first. What is the right time? When is the wrong time for these hops to grow?" And by causes down, lamato kiflayim. And of all these seven things that we just mentioned, the worst one now is the eighth one, is Hakazas Dam, if it's done Lemata. It's twice as bad as all the others in decreasing your sperm count. We'll explain in a moment, the Gemara will tell us that Lemata means below the genital area. If you do a phlebotomy on the lower legs, so then that's actually twice as bad as all of these other things for your Zera. Okay. Tano, we learn the following b'risa, Kishem Shekosh Lemata Kiflai, just like the bloodletting that is done below the Zera, as we'll see, below the groin area, is considered very bad. So, kachiyovu lamala kiflayim, it's twice as good when you have the bloodletting, which Gemara says a little bit of bloodletting is good. So, if it's above the area of the groin, so then if you do it in the upper arm, the shoulder, so that is a very good thing. It's twice as good as any of the other things that we mentioned that are very good. And Gemara will tell us this in a moment. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says we turn to Ayin Omud Beis, What does it mean, lamata? It means lamata min abeitzim. It means below the groin area, below the testicles. That's bad for you. Lamala, when it says it's above the something that is good for you, that means lamala min abeitzim, above the area of the beitzim. And Rashi gives, lamata would be, for example, baraglo v'shokav, in your legs or your thighs, and lamala min abeitzim means b'ksefayim, in your shoulders, or b'tzavor, in the neck, or b'kilbosis, in the hip area. Okay. Then it said before, the chisha shalbizmana are bad for you. Tana, we learn the following brisa. Kishem shikosh lo shalbizmana. It's bad for you when you have it, when the hops are not in the right season. Kach yothu bizmana. Hops in the right season are good for you. When is the right season? The wrong season? Or a papa. Zamano, the right season for the hops is Tammuz, which means tkufas Tammuz. Doesn't mean the month of Tammuz. It means the summer months of Tammuz. Shalbizmana means Tavis. Doesn't mean the month of Tavis. It means the tkufa Tavis, which means the winter months. And in the other two seasons, Yomi Nisan during the Nisan tkufa, and in the Tishrei Tekufa, Yomei Tishrei, so in the fall and in the spring, Lamalavlo Kosher, it's not necessarily good, necessarily bad. Finally, that concludes this medical discussion that we've had for the last blot and a half, and now we get back to the Gemara, and we quote the Mishnah where it said, Omar, if the man said, Kisu get lishti, v'achazo kordiyakus, if the man said to her, when he was fully alert and healthy, and he said, go write a get for my wife, but he didn't say give it to her, and then Bachazo Kurdiakus, and then this Kurdiakus came, and he tells them, stop. He gets this illness called Kurdiakus, and the Chaz of Yomar Al Tiltu, and then he says, he's not mentally competent, he says, don't give the get to my wife. So then, Ein Dvar Vachronim Klum, then you don't listen to him, and you can still, he had originally said Kisuv Itnu, so you're allowed to go and give it. That's what the Mishnah had said. Now, we have a machlokes here between Reish Lakish and Reish Yochanan. When can you go and give it? Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Kosvin and Osin, get li out there. He told you to go kisu v'tnu, and therefore you have the right to go and give it even right now, li out there, immediately, while he's achazo kurdiakus, while he's still in this state of not being mentally competent, because he'd given you permission to give it when he was mentally competent. Reish Yochanan disagrees. Reish Yochanan, Amar, no. Ain Kosvin. You're not allowed to go and write the get and give it to her, Ella Kishiish Tapeh, only when he gets better. So you can have it all ready to go, but you can't give it while the person is in fact still under the influence of this Kordiakus illness. Now, why? My time in the Reish Lakish, why does Reish Lakish say you can give it? Because he says, the Mishnah said, because we totally ignore his other words. In other words, we can go and give it. Tosis explains, and Diva Masl Diktoni, the top Tosos, Mi Yitra Aloshon, from the extra words where it says, Ein bidvarav achronim klum, it could have said something less than that. For the fact that it went to go and say, Ein bidvarav achronim klum, it means that you can give it right now. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Loch, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Ein bidvarav achronim klum, what does that mean? The lechi matzil, that when he gets better from these kuriyakus, lo tzorach lemehade, you don't have to go back and anuchebe and ask him again, do you want us to give it? No, then it back to original permission. Uli Olam, however, Ein kosin elech shishtat peh, but you can't actually right, give the get if he's sick like this until he actually gets better. No, what are they arguing about? Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, the Michael Miflegi. So Reish Lakish compares midame leliyoshin. He compares the person who kordiakus to the person sleeping. Just like if a person says, go and write and give a get to my wife, then he goes to sleep. You can give it to him, even though he's not a bar das while he's sleeping, but he has the potential when he was awake to go and do this. So therefore, you can do it even while he's asleep. And therefore, you can do it even while he has kordiakus. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, midame leliyoshota, Rabbi Yochanan compares him to a shota, the kordiakus. It's not like a person sleeping, it's just like a person who is crazy, and therefore a person who's crazy doesn't have the ability to go and tell you to go write a get. So therefore, while he's crazy, you can't go and give him the get that he had said while he was healthy that he wanted to be given. Nu, why doesn't each one say like the other one? Nu, Rabbi Yochanan, Nami, Limidami, Liyoshin. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan agree with Reish Lakish? You compare him to a sleeping person. Because he says, Yoshin, the sleeping person, lo mechusa maisa. Nothing needs to be done to the person at some point in time. 5 hours later, 10 hours later, 12 hours later, he's going to wake up. So you don't have to do anything to him. He's not mechusa maisa. And therefore, he is considered that he's a full bar das, because nothing has to happen to him, just time. And therefore, you can give the get, even though the husband is sleeping, if he instructs you to go give the get. I'm a chusam isa, but the guy with kordiakus, you got to go do something. You have to do the treatment that we said before, the bisra sumka agumre, the chamamarka, so you have to go and treat it. So therefore, it's mechusam isa, therefore you can't give the get, according to Rav Yochanan. No, why didn't Reish Lakish say like Rav Yochanan? Reish Lakish nami nidmai el shota. Why didn't Reish Lakish compare him to the shota like Rav Yochanan did? Because he says, shota lo sami biyodin. Because a crazy person, we don't have a cure for them. But here, hai sami biyodin, we do have the cure, bisra sumka agumre, v'chamra marka. We can go give him this very, very lean meat, bisra sumka, that we barbecue, we charcoal it, and the chamer market, and give him this very, very diluted wine. So therefore, we have a cure for it. So therefore, it's not considered as if it's an independent illness. It is an illness that has a cure, so it's no different than sleeping. Okay, this is Machlokes, Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan. Now we're going to question, does Rav Yochanan really say that we compare the Kordiakas to a person who is a Shota, and you can't give it while, if he was instructed to go give it while he was healthy, you can't give it while he has the Kordiakas? Or me, Rav Yochanan Hachi, did he really say this? After all, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Shachat bo shnayim or rosh shnayim, Rechmon v'lislan, if a man was attacked and they cut his throat. Now, they cut either the entire esophagus and trachea, that's shnayim, the two simanim, so the trachea and the esophagus are totally cut, oh, rosh shnayim, or the majority of them are cut. Now, this guy's going to die. But he hasn't yet died. V'ramas, and he signals somehow with his hands. He knows sign language. So he signals as he's about to die. V'ramar, kiss who got the ishti. Go right again for my wife. For whatever the reason. He doesn't want her to fall to Yibam. He doesn't want any problems with her. So he says it's much better for her to be divorced than to be an amana. So he signals, and he hasn't yet died. And they quickly write the get, and they give the get before he actually dies. And that's a valid get. V'ramas, v'ramar, kiss who get the ishti. Harel yichtu v'yitnu. While he's still alive, they can go write it and give it to her. And v'tani, we learn in the Braisa. Similarly, Ro Meguyad, if you see that somebody, Rechmon al-Islan, has been cut into little pieces, Otsolov is hanging on a cross, and they're killing him in that fashion. Alatsliva, Otsolov Alatsliva, he's up hanging up on a cross, and he signals the Ramas, and he somehow does hand signals. Ramas, kiss will get leashed, go write a get for my wife. As long as he's still alive, they can write the get and go and give it. So you see over here, even though the person is about to die, so that's certainly somebody who is like Kordiakis, and yet we see that he can make Meruazim, and we can give the get, even though he's in the state. So why would Rav Yochanan say that you can't go and give the get when you have Kordiakis? So it says, the two aren't comparable. How can you compare them? Hachi hashta? Really? You're comparing the two cases? Hasam, in the case that we just brought down from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, when the man Nebuch who had most of his throat slit, or all of his throat slit, and the case where we had a person that was Nebuch chopped up and or was hanging from a cross. So then, in that situation, Dato Tzilusa, he was of sound mind. He's making hand signals. He's telling us what to do. So, yeah, he's going to die, but he's making clear recommendations as to what to do. The only reason he doesn't do it himself is because Nebuch is in that situation. He's already starting to lose all his blood, and he's dying, but he's a fully sound mind. And therefore, that's why we follow what he says. However, here, in the case of the Kordiakas, this guy is crazy at this moment. Rashi says, Targum Shoshigista is Muhuma. He's all bamboozled. Call him a Das Mavuvo. He's crazy right now. He doesn't have a sound mind. And therefore, you can't compare the two. So Gemara says, Umiyah Shmuel Hachi. Did Shmuel really say this? That if you shach abo shnayim or rov shnayim, that you can go and give the get? Really? I'm reviewed on Shmuel. Reviewed the same name of Shmuel. Shach abo shnayim or rov shnayim ubarach. If this guy somehow ran away, so then, mi'idin love, you're allowed to testify that the guy died. Now, if you're saying that he's alive and he can give his get, so how can you tell us that the witnesses who saw this guy get his throat slit, and even though we don't have the body, they can testify to the wife that your husband died? Seems to be contrary positions over here. Yes, we can give him a get because he's still alive. He's halachically considered to be alive. Yet we say that if he runs away, we can tell the wife that he died. Seems to be contradictory. So when it says, "Viso kadaito chayu," if you're telling me that the guy is alive, am I meeting him? How can we then also testify that to the wife that your husband died? Seems to be, again, a contradiction. So where it says, no, the obvious answer that most of you are probably thinking, Amre, Chayu, right now he's alive. So right now, when he's there, you can go and write the get and give it to the wife, as long as you see that he's still alive. However, the guy's certainly going to die. He just had his throat slit. Vesoful almost, he's certainly going to die. So when the guy runs away, so he'll live for an hour, he'll live for 2 hours, he'll live for, you know, a short period of time. But you know, for sure, he's going to die. There's no treatment for a guy that has his arteries cut, his trachea, his esophagus is all cut, his neck is cut, so the guy is certainly going to die. So therefore, you have the right to testify that this guy is a dead man walking. He's going to die soon. But if he's right in front of you and he's not yet dead, then you can give the get. So Gemara says, Elo Meyato, but look at the second thing that reviewed the same name of Shmuel, Ye Gol Al Yado. And then, if this is true, you should be able to be Gol Al Yado. If we can say that this guy is dead, so then if he inadvertently, by accident, had killed him in a downward stroke, so then he should go to Golus for killing somebody accidentally in a downward stroke. But why did the Brisa say, Alom Motanya, Shachat Boshnaim, Rov Shnaim, Hareza Eino Gola? that he doesn't go into Golus. He's not considered a Horeg B'Shogeg, and he doesn't go into Golus. How come? If you can testify that he's dead, so then how come he doesn't go into Golus if he killed him accidentally? So Gemara says two possible answers. Hoyit Marlo, because we already discussed that in that Brisa. Amr Voshai. Roshai gives us the first answer, and he says, "Chayshinon Shema Ruach Bilbalto." You know what? Yes, you inadvertently, accidentally killed him in a downward stroke, but that's not necessarily why he died. There was a wind that blew that exacerbated his condition, and maybe if the wind hadn't blown, he might not have died, and therefore that's why you don't go into Golus. It has to be totally your doing, and here it's not totally your doing. Alternatively, the second teretz, Inami, who Kerav has to be sussed by thrashing about. He himself caused his own demise, and not your slashing him accidentally, but it's his thrashing about that actually contributed to his own death, and therefore you didn't kill him enough that you should be able to go into Golus. No, maybe not. What's the nafkamin between the two terutzim that Rav Hoshaya gave us? So the Gemara says, Ikarinai, the difference would be, for example, if you were to go and have done this accidentally, the shachti bevesa, the shaisha, you went and accidentally severed his throat. House of marble. What does that mean? It was very well protected from the winds. And therefore, Upirkes, he did thrash about, but there was no wind. So, according to the opinion that Rav Hoshaya brought down, that it's the wind. Well, here there was no wind. So, therefore, you were going to Golus if that was the only reason. Whereas, if it was the Pirkes, the thrashing about, so then here he thrashed about as well. So, that would be one nafkamina. Or, alternatively, Nami, the Shachti Bivra, he shechted him outside below Pirkes, and he didn't at all move about. He didn't thrash about. So, if it's the thrashing about that caused it, well, here he didn't thrash. So, therefore, you would get Golus. But there's wind outside. So, therefore, if it's the reason is the wind. So, there was wind outside. And therefore, you wouldn't get Golus. So that's the nafkamina between these two opinions of Rav Hoshaya. Then we quote the Mishnah, Nishtatek, Ramalo, Nichtov, Get Lishtach, Bechule. If a person was unable to talk, so we said you can go and test them by checking to see if he understands the nods appropriately for yes answers and the nods appropriately, shakes his head appropriately for no answers, and then you can go and rely upon that to give a get to his wife. No, Gemara says, "Valeichus duma shichya de lav lav nakte." Maybe when he's nodding no over here, it's some sort of a tremor, and that it's just nodding his head, bobbing his head no, and that's what he's doing. It's not because he is saying no, or inami shichya de hein hein nakte, or he has some sort of a condition, a tremor that he's nodding his head up and down. And he's not really saying yes, yes. So Gemara says, no. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm in Yumi, I'm Rav Nachman, the Amrino, Lebe Sirugin. We don't just ask him in a staccato type of a situation, so his tremor and your questions are coinciding. No, you do it at different time, Sirugin, not directly, you alternate. So you do it 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, whatever it is, and you ask him, and you see that he's nodding or shaking his head appropriately at these times. So that's called Sirugin, and therefore you can say for certain it's not a tremor. No, maybe he does have some sort of a periodical type of a tremor. So it's every 20 minutes. So if you ask him in 20 minutes, he hasn't shaken his head one way or the other. And suddenly 20 minutes later, it's this condition that he has, this tremor that he has that you're actually seeing. And it's not a valid way to prove that he, in fact, is knowledgeable and that you can give a get based upon your telling him, do you want us to give a get to your wife? And he shakes his head. Maybe it's just this tremor. So Gemara says, "The Amrinu lechad lav utrein hein, utrein lav lechad hein." So Tosos explains this over here in the Tosos, both in the Shlosh Pamim. So he says, you basically go and ask him, "You want us to give a get to your wife?" And he nods his head, yes. And then he asks him, "You want us to give a get to your mother?" And he says, "No." "You want to give us a get to your sister?" "No." Then he asks him again, "You want to give us a get to your wife?" And he says, yes. And then you ask him another question, that in each of these situations, clearly his yes means a yes and his no means a no, and there's no tremor that can somehow be thought to fill in this type of correct responses. So therefore, that's the Botkin also in the Mishnah. And similarly, the Vei Rabbi Shmuel Tana in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they learn Om lo dvarim sheyimosachami mosagishamim sheyimosagishamim mosachama, and you test him out. So you see, it's in the summer, and you ask him, "Do you want to put on a sweater? It's hot outside." So if he nods yes, then you know he's not telling you das over here. He's just shaking his head in a tremor. But if you ask him, "You want to put on a sweater in the summer?" and he says no. You ask him in the winter, "You want to take off your coat because it's very hot?" and he says no. So then you know that he's appropriate. So you ask him appropriate questions in the summer, appropriate questions in the wintertime, and this way you'll know if the guy is a bardas or not. Moshe says, who says that's true? My niyu. Why is that proof? There are some people that wear a sweater in the summertime. They get cold. They get a chill. Ilema giluf grey ustine. You could be talking here that sometimes a person will want to put on a coat in the summer, and in the winter, he'll want to take off his coat. He's hot for whatever the reason, right? There are different people. And therefore, lechosh dilma kora achte inami chama achte. Maybe the guy has, in the summertime, he somehow caught a cold, and he feels cold, and that's why he wants a sweater. And in the wintertime, he has a fever, or he's just very hot, and he says, no, take off my coat. So how can you gauge, according to what the Beis Medrash Rishmol said, based upon in the summer, he asks for things that you normally ask for in the winter. He acknowledges he wants something when you ask him the yes-no questions in the summer for something in the winter, or in the winter something for the summer. So why is that necessarily going to be any sort of a guide? So the Gemara answers, and we turn to Daf Ayin Aleph from an Aleph. Elo b'peri. You know, we're talking about Taprashi, she'eno mitsuyim ba'osushar. We're talking about fruit that aren't ever going to be found outside of their season. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have all sorts of potential to transport things from far away. So therefore, if you're asking for some type of fruit in the summer, would you like this summer fruit? And it's the wintertime, or in the wintertime, you ask for the summer fruit, so then there's no way, if he says yes, that would be something that would indicate that he's a bar das. But if he answers the questions correctly, so then that would be an indication that he is a bar das. This is a break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.